Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Radio, where, well, we are now just 2 weeks away from the election that may well decide whether or not personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability has any future in the United States. Scary, eh, what? I am, of course, your host, Chief, coming to you from somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. And if you would like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Now, today, I wanted to start out briefly. Maybe it won't be as brief as it should be, but I want to follow up with something I mentioned last week, kind of briefly. I'd written a blog post a little over a week ago, and I've linked it to my show notes. It is again in the show notes this week because I'm going to have to talk about it a little bit more. Now, first off, what's got me to want to talk about it is I want to thank a few people. Specifically, George Sinzer, Paul Sutliff, and Tim Tapp, because all three of them actually read the entire post on their shows. George Sinzer, I mean, if you're not familiar with these people, George Sinzer does a show called Firefox News Online. He's on kind of late at night every day, and the kind of show he does is sort of an open mic discussion kind of thing. And I happened to be listening to his show last Wednesday, and I just put that in a link to my blog post in his chat room. And, you know, just because he likes different stuff to talk about. And he read it, and he asked me to call in, and we talked about it. And he, we had some disagreements, you know, he had some criticism of what I had written, and it was all good. We had a nice talk. Then on Thursday, I happened to be listening to Paul Sutliff, who does the Sutliffian Report, which is part of the Global Patriot Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And he was talking about something related to what I had written. So I put that in there. I do not know if he had seen my blog post before the show. I think I had posted it on the Global Patriot Radio Facebook page, but I don't know. But whatever, he read the whole thing, and he also had some disagreements with some of my hypotheses. And he invited me to call in. We had a nice discussion for a while. But I especially want to thank Tim Tapp, who is usually here. He's not here right now because as soon as I wrote it, I had sent him that post, which was like a week and a half ago. He had been off the air for the entire week up until Sunday. But he read my entire piece also, and I didn't prompt him. I didn't send it to him during the show. So I'm just really honored, thrilled that he thought it was worthy of reading the whole thing. So, you know, special thanks to Tim. He's usually on. As of a few minutes ago, he did not have a show scheduled for today. He's usually on, starts 55 minutes from right now. But the reason I wanted to go through all this was because Tim, he also had some comments, objections, where he thought I didn't get something right. And I have to address what he said. Kind of wish he was here to hear this, but maybe he'll listen later on. Okay, just, you know, to talk what I'm talking about. You know, if you haven't read the post, what I had said, relatively long story, very short. I wrote that I described a scenario in which the Democrats won the election, Joe Biden resigned, which made Kamala Harris the president. She selected Barack Obama as the vice president. Then she resigned. Barack Obama, again, became the president, and, you know, he appointed Kamala Harris to go back to being vice president. Now, okay, you know, Tim, what he said, his objection to the point was he did not believe that Kamala Harris, having become the president, he said that her ambition and her ego, she would not resign. Wrong. Love you, Tim, but you got this one dead wrong. And I'll explain why. Now, in the post I'm talking about, I didn't specifically mention, maybe I was a little unclear, but the first sentence of that post I referenced and linked to something I'd written 5 years ago, which involved a situation about the 2016 election, which was, as we used to say in the Navy, exactly the same, only completely different. Same sort of scenario, except it was what I wrote back then in 2015, was about the 2016 election. Now, in the recent post, I didn't make this exactly clear, I guess, but I wrote them in different styles. I did not mention the part about Barack Obama until I got pretty much down to the end of it. And so therefore, you know, I kind of wanted to lead it on and pull it out as a surprise where I was going with it. Although, of course, I knew exactly where I was going with it when I started writing. In the post from 5 years ago, I started right out with where I was going, Barack Obama being inaugurated for his third term. And then I addressed the constitutional questions and what it would take and how I got there. So that's what I did. But one thing in the earlier post that I made perfectly clear, I think, but I didn't really get to in the more recent post, was that this was the plan all along. I kind of hinted at it in my post from, you know, a week and a half ago, but in the earlier post, I made it clear this was the plan. It was to put Obama back in the White House. Now, the idea being, okay, that Kamala Harris would not resign. Okay, the plan that I am describing, that I described back then and more recently, this plan has one set of fingerprints on it. And those fingerprints come from the grubby hands of one Barack H. Obama. Oh, wait a minute. Joe Biden said he was clean and Joe wouldn't lie. Forget the grubby part. This is Barack Obama's plan. Now, I like to sometimes connect the dots in a weird way to form a different picture. And the dots actually fit a little more. I think I mentioned this when I was talking to Paul. But think about it. The Democratic National Committee went all in to make sure that Joe Biden got the nomination. Now, what I had said before, and it still holds true, they had to do this because otherwise they would have been stuck with Bernie Sanders. Can't have that. But it also, Bernie Sanders would not play along. Not only was he like unelectable, they needed somebody who could win the election, defeat Trump, but really couldn't be president. I mean, does any name come to mind that isn't Joe Biden that fits this description? So, that's why he has the nomination. If you're going to take what I wrote seriously, and I specifically mentioned in the piece, you maybe shouldn't take it that seriously. But if you take it, why did then it all fits Kamala Harris? Why was she chosen to be the vice presidential nominee? Because in order for the Obama plan to work, they needed a vice president, soon to be president when Biden resigns, that nobody wants to be president. Not the Democrats. Remember back in the primaries, you know, in the early stages, the media and everybody was kind of putting Kamala Harris out as one of the front runners. And then her campaign crashed and burned in record time. Didn't even make it to the first, I think, to the Iowa caucuses, and she was gone. And yet somehow she's the vice presidential nominee. Maybe they want somebody that nobody wants to be president in that position. See, she's in on the plan. If she gets to be president because they win the election and Biden resigns, she knows exactly what her job is. Her job is to resign after picking Obama to be the next vice president. Now, if she wants to maybe pull a fast one, well, she couldn't pick Obama as vice president because the moment she did, everyone would know that Obama is not there to be vice president. He is there to be president when Harris resigns. Everyone would know that instantly. But if she tried to pick somebody else, she might find herself in trouble. Because if she picked Obama and then didn't resign, they would get rid of her the same way that they made a show of getting rid of Biden. They would, you know, call Vice President Obama would, you know, meet with these, what I humorous, nobody seemed to, besides me, seemed to see my attempt at humor, but I called it the Super Secret Special Committee on Presidential Competence. Well, Vice President Obama would meet with them, and they would send a letter to President Pro Tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House saying that the President Harris was, you know, not able to perform the powers and duty or to execute the whatever it is, powers and duties of the office of president. If you read that section of the 25th Amendment, it doesn't say they have to give a reason. All they have to do is state that an inability exists. Now, of course, President Harris could challenge this, in which case, you know, she would go back to being president, but Obama and the committee send a letter saying, no, she's wrong. Congress then has to decide. That's what the 25th Amendment says. Now, a democratically controlled Congress has to choose who's going to be the president, Barack Obama or Kamala Harris. How do you think that's going to go? I mean, seriously. Now, Kamala Harris knows what her job is, because if she tried to challenge it, she would go down as in history as the first president actually removed from office by Congress. And they would make sure, the Democrat Party would make sure, that she never went anywhere in politics again. Well, actually, it might even be worse. Maybe they'll make her, like, I don't know, ambassador to Libya or something, because we know what happens to people that the Democrats put in that position, right? No, Kamala Harris, if she gets in that position, Tim, you're dead wrong. She will resign. And, you know, she'll get to be vice president. They will promise her that, you know, after Barack, you know, 4 years, she can run again. And they're probably true about that, but the deal will be, then they'll do it again, and Obama will be the president again, and she can go back to being, and eventually Obama becomes president for life, and she gets to be vice president for life, and, you know, do all that Joe Biden corruption, rake in the money stuff. I mean, let's face it, being the vice president and getting all the money and everything, that's a sweeter gig than having to actually deal with being president, right? So there it is. That's the way I see it. And I've talked way too long about this, because what I really wanted to get to, I actually had a whole other bunch of stuff I wanted to talk about, but I cannot ignore the latest October surprise. You know what I'm talking about. The laptop, Hunter Biden, all that, Joe Biden's involved, the whole shtick. Now, this is a really nice October surprise, but I have to kind of, I have to just mention, there's an old saying, which, I don't know, I could all just about call a simple fact of life. The old saying goes, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I might add a corollary to that. If something smells really fishy, it probably is. I don't know about this. But kind of interesting thing is how the Biden campaign and the former vice president himself seem to be reacting to this. They're attacking the messenger. Now, I've seen in some of the more left-leaning publication. Ah, say hi to Tim Tapp. I don't know if you heard the first part of the show. I also don't know. Tim Tapp just got into the chat room. Are you doing a show today? And if you are, maybe you should listen to the first 15 minutes of this show, because I spent most of it talking about you. addressing what you had said on your show on Sunday. And, you know, if you want to address, if you're doing a show and you want to address it, fine. If you just want to let it go, fine. But what I said was your criticism of what I wrote was dead wrong. And I'll go back to what I was talking about. the Biden campaign, the leftist publications I've read have said that Biden is, you know, he's denied these charges that have been come up. His campaign has denied them. I haven't heard it. All I have heard, now, and maybe he has, but I didn't hear what he said. I didn't read anything he said or anything his campaign said. What I saw was they were attacking the messenger. I mean, it was in the New York Post, which, I mean, that's like a tabloid. Technically it is, because in newspaper terminology, a tabloid actually just refers to how the paper is cut and folded, not as to the content. But of course, the word tabloid has come to be associated with the National Enquirer and the Star and all those less than reputable newspapers as far as the how factual their reporting is. Although we'd all remember, you know, a few years back where in between stories, my baby's father is an alien, there was a little thing about John Edwards in the National Enquirer, which happened to turn out to be true. But nonetheless, okay, the New York Post, it's owned by Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, and so it's all fake news. Yeah. Remember that? I mean, we've heard the term fake news thrown around a lot over the last 4 years by President Trump, referring to CNN and MSNBC and every other thing that's a few random letters. But the term fake news has been around a lot longer in politics than Donald Trump has, because Obama and his people used that term to describe Fox News. So that's what they're getting. Well, this was put out by Rudy Giuliani and, you know, and Stephen K. Bannon was even involved. Yeah, okay. They've been spending time attacking the messenger, attacking the source, attacking the credibility. And I will admit, this whole laptop that Hunter Biden supposedly dropped off and didn't pick up and all that sort of stuff, yeah, that's a weird story. But I haven't really heard them dispute the facts. Now, when you talk about October surprises, there's two ways you can handle it. Remember 4 years ago we had that October surprise with the Access Hollywood tapes. And everybody, I mean, the Republicans went apoplectic, and Paul Ryan said Donald Trump should step aside and everything else. Well, the way Donald Trump handled it, it almost seems like the way Joe Biden may be trying to handle it, is saying, yeah, so what? Doesn't matter. He couldn't very well deny what was on the tape. He said, yeah, I made some stupid joke, you know, guy talk, all that, and so what? Yeah, I bought that. I mean, I was in the Navy for 20 years. I know what guy talk sounds like. So what? You know, we didn't elect him to babysit our daughters. We elected him to fix the problems in the United States. So, there it is. But if you deny the facts of it, which Joe Biden doesn't seem to be doing, last I heard, then you are basically admitting that it does matter, that what is on that tapes And I mean, what we're hearing is some people are, we haven't heard, seen it all yet, but we're seeing that that laptop had pictures and videos of Hunter Biden. I mean, not only, you know, getting down with some 10-year-old Chinese girls, we're talking about beating them, torturing them. Now, I guess Biden could say, hey, it has nothing to do with me. Yes, sorry, my son's a sleazebag. He could go with that. Of course, there's other things that actually directly link him to some of the things as far as the money goes. I don't know. If that stuff turns out to be true, yeah, that does matter. I don't see how anybody could vote for Joe Biden if he can't demonstrate at least some reasonable doubt on this. So I don't think the it doesn't matter is going to fly. And that's just all. And, you know, almost out of time here, but I have to say, remember the town halls we had last week? Some people were pointing out, the Democrats pointing out gleefully that Joe Biden got better ratings than Donald Trump did because their town halls were on at the same time. Well, guess what? Of course they did. I think Mark Levin pointed this out. Of course they got better ratings. People wanted to hear what Joe Biden was going to say about all this stuff. But, I mean, surprise, surprise, you know, what's his name, George Clintonopoulos or something. Yeah, I know that's not his name, but you know who he is, right? He never asked about it. So the people kept watching, waiting to hear what he was going to say, and he was never asked. Nobody has asked him, except for, I guess I saw one CBS reporter, and he did not answer, deny, address. He attacked the messenger, which is what the left has been doing. The Biden campaign has been attacking the messenger. They've been saying this story is decredited or discredited, debunked, all that stuff. No. You know, the way they discredit a story is they say, if somebody says it's false and the other person says, well, this person discredited, and then it just goes on like that. Nobody, as far as I have seen, and I looked for some as of a few hours ago, I looked through a few places, I have not seen anybody actually deny the veracity of what was reported to be on that laptop, or that it was a fake, it was something planted by the Russians, or anything else like that. So, there we are. I don't know. They're attacking the messenger. They're not denying it. And if it's true, and I really hope we have a debate coming up in a couple days, I hope that, I mean, I know they changed the topics, they changed the microphone, they try to change everything, but my advice to President Trump at the debate, whatever the moderator asked, answer it with a yes or a no, then turn to Biden and ask the question. And keep asking it until he answers. Make him flat out deny it. Make him go on the record saying it's false. Because if he does that, and then something comes out that makes it look like it's probably true, he's in a world hurt. And that's my time. I'm out of here.